Excellent. Okay, let's perhaps, because we've touched upon it a little bit, let's talk a little bit about empire then as a particular historical phenomenon as well. And again, I think we've already mentioned a couple of empires as well. At secondary level, we talked predominantly about the British Empire, and I know the HA secondary survey certainly indicated that students encounter this at Key Stage 3. But I wonder at primary, Paul, perhaps you could talk about what sorts of curricular encounters exist prior to Key Stage 3 with ideas around imperialism and empire, not simply just the British Empire.
Agree with you. It might be helpful if I do start with this point about the British Empire, because we've touched on particularly on with Benin here. And I think the issue to start with that is that it, certainly in the primary curriculum, we can deal with this, and it should be dealing with its broader context. Should you be looking at, say, the Victorian period, for example, but the opportunities here, particularly through, I think, Benin, and it provides an opportunity to do just that in terms of looking at Benin as an example of African cultures, but actually setting its wider context and, you know, giving opportunities to look at others, avoiding stereotypical perceptions of civilizations prior to the empire, etc. And of course the debates about the Brennan Bronzes again relate very much to debates about empire that you'd be doing, you know, you'd be looking at with in secondary level as well. So I think there's opportunities there, but if I leave that and then really look at other opportunities in the primary level, of course, the notion of empire more broadly isn't just about 19th century empires. I mean, we can look at Sumer, we can look at Egypt, Rome, Benin itself were all empires. And again, looking at what caused them to develop, what caused their demise, what their impact was, is really very important. So we're getting that idea of the concept across to children in different context, and that's building up their, if you like, their
Well,
complex understanding of the past.
yeah, we're focusing on those first order concepts, aren't we? I mean, that idea of empire is being introduced to them. Probably the first time they'll encounter it will probably be through the Romans, but then they're also potentially getting it in ancient Egypt or ancient Sumer or Benin, and so each time they're encountering it, they're finding different additional elements to it that will lead into wider understanding, and which they can then begin to relate later on to the British Empire.
And I think picking up one of those, if we go back to Rome, again, the important thing there is to look at the complexity of the empire without, you know, sort of going too far. I mean, it's very easy to, if you like, give a sort of sanitized version of the Roman Empire if you just focus on, as you will do, you know, sort of towns, building, heating, etc. Very often it gives this, is presented this idea of this ordered society and what have you, but there's a different perspective here. They were invaders. So you start looking at Boudica, you start looking at gladiators, you start looking at the building of roads, Hadrian's Wall, towns, and even villas. You're looking at really evidence of imposition. And equally, you get a title, typical Key Stage 2 book, Roman Britain. Well, actually, it's not Roman Britain we're talking about. It's Roman Southern Britain. And you've got questions there. Well, you know, why did they just invade part of these islands? What was the cause of invasion? But equally, why didn't they, you know, what was the type of the resistance beyond, you know, in the northern parts of these islands? They planned to invade Ireland, so why didn't they? So what was going on there? So that idea of resistance and limitations to empire, I think, is important to draw out there in the
But
context of
also,
these islands.
I think then an understanding of the idea. So we're looking at the idea of invasion and what invasion means at that point. But what we also want children to understand is how this process takes place. That we have this initial invasion. We have the Celtic culture is suppressed. But as that time goes on, as those 400 years go on, there is a change, and particularly as Paul says, in the southern part of England, by then, by the time the Romans leave, we're Britannia Romana, we're the Roman province of Britain, and there's been an enormous change. But they need to see that idea of to understand the difference between invasion and settlement and assimilation, because that's what they're going to encounter when they come to the Anglo-Saxons and the Vikings as well. This idea of sort of waves of people that are coming in and that may be coming in initially, and with the Norman invasion as well, this idea of invasion, and that gradually it becomes settlement, that becomes assimilation, and then you get the next lot coming in as well.
I agree with you there, Karen, but the idea of that sort of impact on part of what is, we know as Britain, is true, but the continuity of the other cultures is equally true. So the continuity of Celtic culture
in Ireland.
And parts of, in fact, you know, so the Southwest.
Because again, it's going to come back in the Anglo-Saxon period as well. It's not gone. It's suppressed, but it's not disappeared.
I mean, in some ways, I mean, there's a sort of, I mean, I think Karin's idea, I mean, we're back to the spiral curriculum, is that part of what we're getting in play here is trying to get students to think about ideas of power and control in the context of the Roman Empire. How do they play out again in different empires, and then particularly at the key stage three when we look at the British Empire? But the other thing that it makes me think about was, you know, Mary Beard's fantastic series based on her book SPQR, where she sort of, so there's that aphorism about the Monty Python, which is, what have the Romans ever done for us? But she reverses it to say, what has the empire ever done for Rome? And she's really acute to the idea that actually what's also going on here in these imperial moments is moments of cultural exchange. So actually, yes, Britain is Romanized, but actually there's also a counterflow that actually where Rome is taking on, because of the length of the empire, taking on ideas, foods, cultures, of different parts of the world that they've actually, you know, conquered. And that's true of the British Empire as well, which is why we're kind of here in Britain, in places in Britain, where we're seeing that cultural exchange, which are legacies of empire because of the way in which those presences are still here. So I think it's really, really interesting to sort of get that sort of, I mean, I guess what you're sort of saying is that we want to offer a complex and desanitized version, a messy. It's quite messy, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. And I think, and again, it's, in essence, it's good history. It's that idea of getting away from the sort of neat stereotype image of periods in the past. And it's not just controversial, but it's actually what we should be actually looking towards, getting a sort of more mature perspective on what was taking place.
But again, it relies on the knowledge of the teachers. If we only have a superficial understanding of the Romans, if we merely Google BBC Bite Size, bless them, and hope that will give us sufficient as a teacher to understand about the Roman Empire, then we will go back to bathhouses and villas, and you know, we'll miss some of the big questions that we really need that shape that period. I mean, what we want teachers to take to do is to look at that period, because if, as Ofsted is saying, they want us to become curriculum makers, they want teachers to make decisions about what they're going to include within this area, we need to look and say, why do they need to know about the Romans in Britain? Why is it there in the first place? And what do we want them to take away? If we've only got 6 weeks, what in those 6 weeks would we like them to look at that will help them take something away from that period, but also in relation to how that's building their understanding and going forward?
It's that residual knowledge that you're talking about there.
Absolutely.
And I suppose implicated there, in terms of what Karen's saying, is also framing that as an important historical question. So I mean, which could be, in terms of what Paul's sort of saying, in terms of the Celts and the Scots, what does Roman Britain mean? You know, how do we understand the term Roman Britain? Things like that. And that opens up more profound questions that gets at that messiness about actually this label doesn't really capture the true, it's too neat, it's too tidy, let's mess it up a bit.